1 Kings chapter 12 and verses 1 to 15, and 2 Chronicles chapter 10 verses 1 to 15. Here we have the start of Rehoboam's reign. Solomon has died. The end of 1 Kings chapter 11. He's come to his end, and Rehoboam, his son, has now succeeded him as king. As we open 1 Kings 12 verse 1, Rehoboam goes to Shechem, where the Israelites have gone there to make him king. Now the kingdom is still united at this stage. It is the kingdom of Israel. Judah in the south, Israel in the north, but it's all the kingdom of Israel. And now Rehoboam is to be anointed king of this united kingdom. He is the last king of the united kingdom of Israel. And during his reign, right at the very start of his reign, the kingdom is ripped apart. Now there are two things going on here, and we must look at them both. We're going to see Rehoboam's stupidity and the consequences of his stupidity. But there is another way of looking at this, and both are true. If we go back to chapter 11 of 1 Kings, from verse 26 to 40, we see God's sovereign purpose at work. And we'll see it again in chapter 12 and verse 15. What do I mean? During the reign of Solomon, Solomon was doing some building work, massive building work in Jerusalem, and he had promoted a man called Jeroboam, verse 28 of chapter 11 of 1 Kings. Jeroboam, a young man, was clearly a man of ability, and Solomon had appointed him ruler, governor of the whole labor force of the building works there in this national work. He was doing his job well. But something also much larger than that came into his life. The prophet Ahijah met him and spoke to him, and by a symbol, an illustration with the cloak, he said to Jeroboam, he told Jeroboam that because of Solomon's sin, because of Israel following Solomon's sin, and their forsaking of God, verse 33 of that chapter, and they had gone after the false gods and goddesses, Ashtoreth, Chemosh, Molech, because they had broken the law of God, not kept the statutes, not kept the laws of Moses as David had, Solomon was responsible for this, and the kingdom was to be torn apart. God would give 10 portions to Jeroboam, and he would leave 2 with the son of Solomon. And furthermore, if Jeroboam, in his turn, when he became king of the north, if he would keep the law, if he would keep the statutes, if he would not go after idols, if he would keep the covenant of Moses, you get it in verse 38, if you do whatever I command you and walk in my ways, and you keep my statutes and my commands, I will make you a dynasty. I will build you a dynasty as large and as enduring as my promise to David. What a huge opportunity for this man. What a glorious prospect. Now, this is the sovereign work of God, the sovereign purpose of God, the sovereign decree of God, and that is deep underneath all these events. But on the surface, here is Rehoboam becoming king. Now, Solomon had promoted Jeroboam, but also he had tried to kill Jeroboam, and you could see, I suppose, in Jeroboam a rival, and Jeroboam had fled to Egypt. Now, upon Solomon's death, Jeroboam comes back. And when Rehoboam is going to Shechem, Jeroboam approaches him, and he makes this offer to him in chapter 12, And he says in verse 4, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but if you will lighten the harsh labor, if you will lighten that heavy yoke, we will serve you. I take this to be a genuine offer. Rehoboam said, well, I'll need to consult, come back in 3 days. And he had two sets of advisors, old men who gave him one set of advice, and the young men who'd been brought up with him who gave him another set of advice. The old men said, treat them kindly, and they'll be yours forever. The young men said, no, give them an iron fist. Smash them down. Show them who's master. Now, I don't know whether the old men's advice was sincere or not, or whether they were saying, flatter the people, and then when you've got them, you can do what you want. Their advice might not be good, but I do know that the young men's advice was very bad indeed. Rehoboam took the young men's advice. And when Jeroboam came back, he said to him, you thought my father's yoke and rule was harsh? You got news coming. My little finger could be thicker than my father's waist. I'm going to punish you much harder. He made a stupid, wretched, miserable, utterly foolish choice, and the consequences were immense. Now, the two layers of truth here go together, God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. It's Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us. And this principle applies right across Scripture. God is sovereign, but man is accountable. I am accountable. Rehoboam was accountable. Jeroboam was accountable. You're accountable, so am I. Now, however we review these advices, whether it was cynical or whether it was arrogant or whatever it was, the advice, whatever it was, Rehoboam made a stupid choice. He showed his imbecility. Of course, 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 15, God is sovereign. This purpose was of God. Nevertheless, whether it was flattery or fist, whatever Rehoboam was thinking of, the truth of the matter is, God is sovereign, but it was the foolish choice of this man that led to what? The tearing apart of the kingdom, the ripping apart of the kingdom, never again to be united under one king in the land there. This man was too clever by half. He had his schemes, he was worldly wise, he had his politics, but he was making a terrible choice, and the consequences were immense. And it's the same for us, brothers and sisters. It's the same for you, unbeliever, too. Oh, I know God is sovereign. I don't apologize for it. I preach it. I declare it. God's sovereign eternal decree is worked out. But I am accountable. I am responsible. I am answerable. So are you. Brother and sister, let us go on trusting in God's sovereign purpose, but let us obey his word. And let us make wise choices, looking to the Lord to guide us, not trusting in the confidence of men. Put not your confidence in men. Trust not in princes. Look to the Lord to guide. But let me close this brief discourse with the thought for the unbeliever. Isaac Watts set out what I want to say in a hymn. He was speaking of his own soul. And he was thinking, why was it that I was made to come to Christ? How is it that I received Christ? How is it that I wanted Christ? How is it I trusted Christ? How is it I repented when so many seem not to want him? Why was I made to hear thy voice and enter while there's room, when thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? And what's says this, 'twas the same love that spread the feast, he's speaking of the gospel feast, that sweetly forced us in, else we had still refused to taste and perished in our sin. You see the two strands there? The sovereignty of God, but the responsibility of man. Oh, unbeliever, do not make a wretched choice. The gospel offer is sincere. Come to Christ, repent and believe and trust him, and you will be saved. If you refuse, you will perish. It is a wretched choice. Do not make it. Learn from Rehoboam. He made a wretched choice. Look at the consequences, earthly consequences. The consequences of refusing Christ are eternal perishing and damnation. God is sovereign. Believer, praise the Lord that his love forced you in gently. Unbeliever, hear your responsibility and act upon it. If I hear the objection that this is inconsistent and I should explain it, I don't intend to explain it. I can't explain it. I simply preach it because I see both strands here and throughout the scripture. God sovereign, man responsible. God sovereign, man responsible. Rehoboam made a wretched choice. I plead with you, do not make a wretched choice.